W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Dr. Anthony Fauci, formerly the government's top infectious disease doctor, will testify publicly for the first time in 2 years.
A subcommittee has released a transcript of closed-door interviews with Fauci in January in which he was questioned about whether he knew about former colleagues allegedly skirting public records laws. In one email exchange, a former colleague wrote to another, "There is no worry about Freedom of Information Act requests. I can either send stuff to Tony on his private Gmail or hand it to him at work or at his house. He is too smart to let colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble."
ABC's Allison Kosick. Hunter Biden's trial opens in federal court in Dover, Delaware today. He's charged with lying when he purchased a gun in 2018. One person killed, 24 wounded and injured in a shooting in a large outdoor party in Akron, Ohio. No arrests. This is ABC News. Live Nation confirmed a massive data breach by a criminal threat actor that tried to sell customer details of more than a half billion people on the dark web.
It doesn't appear that passwords were compromised, but if you have a Ticketmaster account, experts recommend changing your password as a precaution, using two-factor authentication, and never share your personal or financial information with online solicitors.
ABC's Alexis Christophorus. Around Seattle, they call him the Beltdown Hellcat. His name is Miles Hudson, and he's accused of racing his souped-up Dodge Charger through downtown Seattle at night when people are trying to sleep.
I actually woke up in the middle of the night thinking it was gunshots until I realized, oh, it's, you know, Miles Hudson and his Charger.
Resident Chris Allen, the city of Seattle is suing Hudson, say he owes over $80,000 in traffic and noise tickets. In April, a municipal judge ordered him to stop driving. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, "I just don't get it. What was in it for them?"
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, "Can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti?" Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us on Monday as we'll take a look back over the weekend and launch our new Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. Maybe we'll find a pool boy. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible this afternoon, tonight, and again tomorrow. We'll get to around 73 today. It'll be mostly cloudy. May get up to a half inch of rain in some spots today. Tonight, 64. Tomorrow, 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Watch out! You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nfamilyfire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll tell you whether or not Trump is fleeing prosecution to a extraditionalist country. Tune in Monday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
1670 AM, The Zone.
I know it is not what you want to hear on a Monday, but we've got rain in the forecast. Welcome in, everybody. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the radio. Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. Yeah, I'm afraid we've got rain in the forecast for almost everybody in the state of Wisconsin coming in today. Some of it could be a little on the severe side. That's what they're cautioning around the Madison area. Daytime highs today could be anywhere from the mid to upper 70s, even into the low 80s. And again, we're looking at a rain chance generally from 40 to 60% possible. Tomorrow, more thunderstorms in the forecast for the La Crosse area. Probably afternoon thunderstorms in Madison and on the lakeshore. Just cloudy skies, 77 the expected high. Wednesday, more morning showers back in the forecast. I'll tell you, going to take us until maybe Thursday and Friday before we start to see a drying pattern. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, on the way with the weather details you're looking for. I've got details for you on a Monday. You know, there's probably no better way to get to know one another than by breaking bread, having a meal together. Well, that's exactly the premise that got the Wisconsin Farm to Table event started several years back. This year, the big event is coming up August 10th, and it's going to Western Wisconsin, where I caught up with Louisa Peterson, one of the family members at Creamery Creek Farms, getting ready to host you for the Wisconsin Farm to Table dinner. I asked her to tell us about the farm and the upcoming event.
Our farm in Bangor is a dairy farm. We're set right along the interstate on I-90. So if you're driving through, you'll absolutely see us and the event. We're a family business, also in partnership with a non-family business partner, which kind of makes our farm interesting and unique that way. But the farm's been in our partner's family for almost 100 years, and we're the operating farmers here today, raising our kids here. So, in addition to the Holsteins that are at our farm, we also raise some beef and pork and sell that through some of our own channels.
When did you start doing that value-added proposition on the farm?
It started during the COVID when our friends were like, hey, what can we get from you? And then it kind of grew from there. So at this point, we're shipping our beef nationwide on a weekly basis.
Wow, that is nice. That is nice. Are you noticing any kind of trends as far as requests? Because beef, no matter where you're purchasing it anywhere this time of the year, it's not inexpensive. Are you getting questions? What are people seeming to lean toward?
Our beef is a specialty beef, so we age it for a minimum of 21 days. So it's a specific search, and I think when people find it, they're looking for specific steaks or cuts or briskets for a special event.
That's beautiful. Well, tell me a little bit more about the farm. You mentioned that it is dairy. Do you still milk cows then? Is that part of the impetus for the Creamery Creek product lineup?
Absolutely. We milk just under 700 Holsteins here at the home farm, and we're looking to grow this year. Let's see. There are...
What about crop acres?
Yeah, well, approximately 2,600 crop acres that support the dairy and feed for the cows here at the farm.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that it's kind of a partnership situation. For people to get a better handle on the requirements of the day-to-day operations, Louisa, talk to me a little bit about how many people are involved with Creamery Creek. From the farm and the actual operation of milking cows, taking care of those beef animals, managing all that crop acreage. And then, as if that's not enough, now you have this farm and the farm product enterprise. That keeps people busy. I just want to make sure that my audience understands how many people it takes to make this kind of a venture really run.
Sure. Absolutely. So besides my husband and I, we have four kids here, and there are 12 full-time folks here at the farm, and we manage four farms with animals on it. So the home farm, the Big Creek farm, where the pasture where our beef cows live, and then the pasture where our beef steers finish.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's 13 full-time folks besides my husband and I and then our four kids. It does take a lot, but when you live it day to day, you don't notice.
Well,
thanks for pointing it out.
Yeah, I was going to say the days kind of run together. It's like everybody, especially at this time of the year when it's not just about the cows and just about the creamery. It's also about the cropping side of things. So I completely get you there. So then tell me the story. How did you get hooked up with the farm to table venue situation that occurs across the state? Had you been involved before? Did they approach you? Give me a little background on that.
Yeah, it is. It's actually an event that I've watched move throughout the state, and I've always tried to get to. It's a very interesting, intimate dinner setting, multiple courses featuring very hyper-local food that I've always been fascinated with. So the committee found us and set up the proposition, and we said, we're interested. We have unbelievable, interesting things in agriculture and food in our local area that we want to talk about. So, I mean, obviously, besides our own products, there's going to be other local farmers here showcasing their vegetables and flowers and other courses. It's a 5-course dinner. So there, with each of those courses, there will be a farmer to speak on their practices and their products and how it got to our table. So it's beautiful.
Yeah, and it's slated for Saturday, August 10th, 4:30 to 9:30, again at Creamery Creek Farms, just off the interstate by Bangor and the host farms, the Peterson family, the Hansen family, there to share their story. Now, help my audience understand how you're sourcing some of those vegetables, working with some of those exceptional chefs, because that hyper-local focus can sometimes be a challenge. Everybody buying in so far, Louisa?
Yeah, so far, so good. We've got, I can't tell you exactly what the menu will be yet, but I can tell you it'll feature our beef and butter. You'll find some other pork, cranberries, which are very unique and special to our area. But there will be unbelievable. The stuff that they've been just circling as ideas, I'm just like, I cannot wait for this meal.
Now, you say that, but it's not just a little intimate 5-course deal for your family. There's going to be, how many people do they expect this year? This event just keeps going and going, and the tickets always seem to disappear so fast.
That's what I've heard, too. They're 150 people, I think, is what the target number is.
And do you know the price of the tickets this year?
Yep, they're the same as last year, $150.
Boy.
There's a link to purchase on the wifarmtotable.com website.
Excellent, excellent. And, of course, if you want to take a look at what's going on the farm and a little bit more about Creamery Creek Farms, shopcreamerycreek.com is another way you can learn more about Louisa and her family's stories. Just out of curiosity, because you sit so close to La Crosse, so close to the Wisconsin-Minnesota border, do you anticipate that we might see some of the other side of the Mississippi River joining us as well?
Absolutely. This event, the first ticket sold to somebody in Illinois, so I know that this is an interesting, unique experience for folks, and they're willing to travel.
Wow.
The products will be Wisconsin featured products, so I just want to emphasize that.
Well, sure, of course. Now, as far as the shop that you're managing on your own, you mentioned that you're moving your beef specifically nationwide. Give me a little bit more of a sense on the local clientele. Do folks in the region around you shop you often, Louisa? Just help people understand, like we said earlier, it is a labor of love, but it's also a lot of work. How has that clientele been building since the pandemic? What kinds of questions do they ask of you these days?
Absolutely. So we show up at our local farmers markets and answer these questions on a weekly basis. Markets have started already for us in May, but continue through October. But folks ask incredibly a gamut of questions. One, basically, you know, is there any additives? Or some folks are very concerned about how we raise our animals. So the opportunity to speak with somebody firsthand who would likely make a purchase from you and could get their information directly from you is, I see that trend growing and growing. I don't see it slowing down.
I've got to ask your background. Yeah, this being a part of the farm, this is your farm, I understand. But that doesn't mean that Louisa was born with accounting skills, website development, public outreach, all this kind of stuff. What prepared you to jump in like this or prepared the family? Was it, I didn't know what I didn't know, so I just forged ahead? Or what's your background?
That's absolutely the case. We didn't know what we didn't know. Oh, I didn't know about a website. Oh, I didn't know about the security and compliance things. But we just jumped in. And so those are things that we've learned as we've gone along. But yeah, there's other folks, experts in the fields of, you know, website design and technical pieces that you reach out to. And it's okay. You don't have to do everything.
Louisa Peterson along with us. She is one of the hosts that's for the upcoming Farm to Table event slated Saturday, August 10th, 4:30 to 9:30. Creamery Creek Farms off the interstate in Bangor. But again, if you want to get your tickets, you'll want to do it now. Go to wifarmtotable.com. and purchase them today. Thank you, Louisa. Louisa Peterson getting ready to host you for the 2024 Wisconsin Farm to Table event.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like skee-ball made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of skee-ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee-ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the skee-ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mino and the Mayor.
Ben, buddy. It's nice to see you. You like it here. You're going to stay here. Your kids are young.
Yeah, 6 and 4. Yeah.
Boys or girls?
Boy and a girl.
I sent you a card when you had
Yeah. Thank you. He sent me a card when I had Vince. Oh, and Vince. Said, I think Vince. Either your dad or you will be mayor one day of the city. We still have it somewhere, for sure. Yeah.
I love it.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, we kick off Biden's top 100. The week's theme is the economy, and we'll be specifically talking about the billionaires tax. Why don't we tax billionaires more?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Planting progress report. There are also a lot of folks that are trying to make hay. It's not just about the weather that seems to be working against the folks that want to make hay. It's also about the insects. Randy Welch is a forage agronomist specialist with Forage Genetics, and he says right now, alfalfa weevil are prowling.
They're basically an insect pest that develops with the heat units going north. So we started with alfalfa weevil probably 3 weeks ago at Kansas City area, then moving north through the plains up through Missouri, Iowa, and now finally here in Wisconsin. And so they are a heat unit driven insect. Once we get to about 400-450 heat units, they maximize their activity in egg laying, and then the worms come out or the little weevils come out and start feeding on the alfalfa.
And obviously, alfalfa weevil really don't care much about the rain if the heat is there. Welch goes on to say that as the weevils develop, they're really hard on alfalfa fields in a pretty short period of time.
Basically, what they're doing right now is eating the leaves, the material between the veins of the leaves. They cause a process called skeletonization, and that skeletonization leaves the vein material and the stem material, of course, and the little weevil weave in and out, if you will, of the veins. When you look at the field quickly from the field margin, it looks like it's almost frosted because all you see is the veins that are left. But they are very destructive.
And Welch says it really doesn't matter what age the weevil is, but they are kind of tricksters when it comes to their appearance. Listen in.
The course of action would be to spray the field with an insecticide. Our choices are a little bit limited. We have several products on the market from various vendors here with the Winfield Cropland Forage Genetics Group. We'd have a group of insecticides that would be available, and those are basically quite effective. We did lose Lorsban legally. We did have reinstatement of Lorsban, I guess, for one more year through the EPA, but we do have some Lorsban that's available, and that would be a product that we'd highly recommend for weevil control.
All right, Randy Welts, he is the National Alfalfa Specialist with Forage Genetics, telling us about those little rascals, the alfalfa weevil. And I'm sure many of you out there have probably already seen them in your alfalfa field. And like I said, you're caught between a rock and a hard spot right now, because although you may want to get out there and try to cut, even if it does turn a little bit lighter as far as the weather is concerned, the weevil may already have done the damage. We're going to take a quick quick break and try to check in with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, next.
In our next episode with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, we visit hoop houses filled with sugar peas at Sullivan Family Farm in Manitowoc. U.S. Air Force veteran Ryan Sullivan and his wife started the farm to live a healthy lifestyle and give back to the community. Ryan says the next step is to further open the farm to the public. They're enrolled in WADA's peer-to-peer mentorship program. In this class, they'll learn what it takes to operate an agritourism destination.
We absolutely want to share what we're doing. We want to share some of that experience, especially to anyone that hasn't been out to a farm. We want to share how we're building soil, how we produce, how we keep things healthy, how we deal with problems without using sprays, without using chemical. There's a lot to that. It takes more work, and we're proud of what we're producing. We have a lot to share. We have a really good story to share.
Listen to the Sullivan Family Farm story at gowiagtourism.com.
All righty. Thank you, Stephanie. And we are going to talk a little bit more about what's going on with that whole situation on weather and its impact on production agriculture. That's coming up in just a little bit. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, says that today, basically everybody is going to see rain. The catch is that in the Madison area, and maybe even a little bit towards along the lakeshore, you're going to have to keep your eyes open for the potential of some severe weather. I don't want to get you real clutched up right now because it's still developing. Right now, it's only about central Iowa and coming our way, but there is a possibility for the Madison, Milwaukee areas, and everybody in that general zone could start to see severe weather move in. There is even a possibility, they say, a possibility of severe weather like tornadoes. So you might want to get those plans in place for you folks that suffered through all the tree losses that we experienced in that previous storm. You don't want to have that happen again. So make sure that you're taking precautions and looking around your neighborhood today. Again, like I said, looking for temperatures today that are going to be definitely in the low 70s to mid 70s, maybe even a little bit warmer than that. Then by the time that we get to Thursday, that's about the first chance that we've got when it comes to drying out. And even at that, it doesn't look like it's going to last for very long because they've got more rain back in the forecast by the time that we get to the weekend. So we're just going to have to kind of wait this one out and hope that the weather patterns change. Remember, you're always welcome to let me know what's happening in your backyard. The talk text line has been alive with action lately as far as your contributions. That number is 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. I got a couple of reports from the Alto area. A quarter of an inch of rain on Saturday did get their first crop alfalfa off. About 0.4 of an inch rain from Dave in Burlington. That was Saturday and nothing since. Linda in Reeseville had about 0.5 inch rain on Saturday. 0.8 from Greg in West Bend on Saturday. And about another 1.1 inch rain, Fitchburg, on the west side of Madison. So a lot of folks that are definitely hoping we can perhaps get that break that we're deserving when it comes to dry weather. You heard what the numbers had to say for you there. So that is what we've got going on as far as weather is concerned this morning. Our friend Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, will be back with us tomorrow morning, hopefully, to make sure that we're getting everything taken care of as far as your weather forecast is concerned. And like I said, use our talk text line. That'll help you to definitely make sure that you are keeping us informed on what's happening in your backyard, all right?
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ed Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
Ben, buddy. It's nice to see you. What do you think the city needs to do?
We need to change the perception of the schools. There is a negative perception about Green Bay Public Schools. I'm just getting into it as a parent. My kid is in kindergarten at McAuliffe on the east side, and I think we need to improve how people view our schools. There's a perception, and I don't know if it's warranted or not.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Dr. Anthony Fauci, formerly the government's top infectious disease doctor, will testify publicly for the first time in 2 years.
A subcommittee has released a transcript of closed-door interviews with Fauci in January in which he was questioned about whether he knew about former colleagues allegedly skirting public records laws. In one email exchange, a former colleague wrote to another, "There is no worry about Freedom of Information Act requests. I can either send stuff to Tony on his private Gmail or hand it to him at work or at his house. He is too smart to let colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble."
ABC's Allison Kosick. Hunter Biden's trial opens in federal court in Dover, Delaware today. He's charged with lying when he purchased a gun in 2018. One person killed, 24 wounded and injured in a shooting in a large outdoor party in Akron, Ohio. No arrests. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Progress Pride flag will fly over the Wisconsin State Capitol building for the month of June. In Wisconsin and across the United States, June is LGBTQ+ Pride Month. Governor Tony Evers said in a press conference on Friday that flying the Progress Pride flag is a symbol of his resolve to support the LGBTQ+ community.
Raising the Pride flag above the Wisconsin State Capitol sends a clear, unequivocal, and decisive message that in Wisconsin, all are welcome.
June is also Invasive Species Awareness Month. Visit the DNR website for info on how to hike, camp, fish, and garden in ways that prevent the spread of invasive species. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers head to Philadelphia. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers on the road this week, tonight against the Phillies, followed by a trip to Detroit to take on the Tigers. Milwaukee in first place with a 7-game lead over the Cards and the Cubs after sweeping the White Sox 6-3 Sunday. The White Sox now with an 11-game losing streak. Chicago's Tommy Pham frustrated after being gunned down by Christian Yelich at the plate with the tying run.
Close. Third base coach sends you, you gotta go. You know, I hear the tough guy with all the hoorah shit. There's a reason why, you know, I do all kinds of fighting because I'm prepared to fuck somebody up.
Freddie Peralta with the start, reliever Hobie Milner with the win, the Brewers' Christian Yelich.
You know, it wasn't the cleanest game that we've ever played today, but we found a way at the end still. You know, Freddie battled for us, gave us five, and then guys in the pen stepped up.
NFL, the Packers announcing training camp starts early this year. Monday, July 22nd, is the first practice, followed by the annual shareholders meeting that afternoon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On the next show, Brittany Merlot joins us to give us a look at the weather for the week ahead.
And John Plegman from ARDC of Brown County stops by to talk about sobriety night. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible this afternoon, tonight, and again tomorrow. We'll get to around 73 today. It'll be mostly cloudy. May get up to a half inch of rain in some spots today. Tonight, 64. Tomorrow, 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The U.S. Federal Court's Fifth Circuit, known for its conservative and sometimes fringe rulings, recently reheard a case from Galveston County, Texas, over whether a community of African Americans and Latinx Americans qualifies for protections under the Voting Rights Act. The court's opinion could further weaken the VRA. Pettaway v. Galveston County, Texas, disputes redistricting of the county's commissioner districts, which civil rights and democracy groups argue took away the opportunity for African American and Latinx American voters to elect the candidate of their choice. In October 2023, a federal district judge agreed with the plaintiffs. Quote, "The circumstances and effect of the enacted plan were mean-spirited and egregious, given that there was absolutely no reason to make major changes to Precinct 3," unquote. New maps were ordered, but later stayed by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, with the U.S. Supreme Court concurring. May 13th, the Fifth Circuit reheard the case, this time with the county arguing that the Voting Rights Act doesn't apply to mixed coalitions of voters, only to distinct groups of minority voters. Should the full Fifth Circuit panel agree, it could diminish the voting power of mixed minority communities around the U.S. A U.S. Supreme Court appeal is likely next year, meaning discriminatory maps will be used for the November election. We have links on the case and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
June is Brain Awareness Month, and the Alzheimer's Association estimates more than 120,000 people are living with the disease in Wisconsin. In the Green Bay area, there are two dementia-friendly neighborhoods hosting what's called Purple Angel Trainings. Here's advocate Casey Kapelczynski.
It starts from the basics. What is dementia? What do you need to understand about the disease? What sort of things should you be recognizing? And how do you best adjust your behavior to interact with them in a way that's positive for each individual in that interaction?
And the sooner dementia is recognized, the more support can be given.
And the more informed we all are, the sooner we can start treating it with the medications that we have, interventions, diet changes, whatever it might be that your physician recommends.
You can always learn more at ALZ.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, "I just don't get it. What was in it for them?"
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot.
You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
To run out of the field for a coin toss. And almost.
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Welcome back on a Monday morning. I am Pam Yonke, the fabulous farm babe, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Stick around. We're going to find out about the upcoming tractor pulling season around the state of Wisconsin. Still some challenges that a lot of our tractor pullers are facing when it comes to keeping their rigs up and running. Charity Seebecker going to tell us all about that. And strawberries. Strawberry season's just around the corner. Are you prepared? A lot of the strawberry patches were hoping to open up this week. Things may change with the rain in the forecast. That is the unfortunate part on the news that I've got to bring you on a Monday. Pretty much everybody's got a chance of rain today into the evening hours and again back on Tuesday morning. Looks like it's going to take us until probably Thursday or Friday before we get a good shot at dry weather, no matter where you are in the state. What can I tell you? Today is the third day of June. Let's see. On this day, back in 1969, the last episode of Star Trek airs on NBC. I know that's probably hard for a lot of you to believe because the Trekkies that are out there know that there's been so many iterations of Star Trek. But the last episode of Star Trek aired on NBC, the Turnabout Intruder episode. That was back in 1969. Happy anniversary to Saturday Night Live comedian, actress, author, Tina Fey. She and her husband, Jeff Richmond, have been married for, what did I count, 44 years as of today. Way to go. And congratulations. Now you know. Well, we do want you to know what's happening with our Wisconsin strawberry growers. Yes, just like everybody involved in production agriculture, their year has been challenging as well. Stephanie Hoff got a little roundup for us on two different growers' situations, one in western Wisconsin, the other in eastern Wisconsin. Stephanie?
Danielle Clark with Mayberry Farms says that they do not have irrigation, so she does not want to complain about the moisture, but she does say that their 12 acres of strawberries are also ahead of schedule, and the berries are looking good.
We expect it to be early June this year, which is much earlier than traditionally. It's generally around mid-June, about June 14th, June 15th is where we've picked in the past. Last year it was a little bit later because of the drought that we experienced last year. But this year it's going to be early because we are good on moisture and it's been cool. So it's been a great spring.
You're good on moisture, but have you ever felt like you've gotten too much rain at all this year?
You know, we try not to complain about it because what we went through last year was just a very tough and uncertain time for our farm. We don't have irrigation or the ability to irrigate anymore. And so having this amount of moisture, we're not going to complain about it.
With the moisture, though, does that lead to any concerns this year compared to last year when it comes to disease or rot or even weed management?
Absolutely. Those weeds are just loving all the moisture that they can get right now. They are keeping us very busy. And obviously, you know, with the moisture comes, like you said, disease and those concerns. And we are monitoring the fields and the conditions. And everything looks great right now. So we're really happy how things are progressing.
Are you scouting for any bugs?
We're doing everything as we normally would. So there's nothing out of the ordinary. Who doesn't love strawberries? And I guess the bugs are no exception to that either.
And the quality of the berries, you kind of alluded to this earlier. How are they looking?
They look great. The yield is phenomenal. We're really happy. They're seeming, you know, they're starting to size up and we're seeing green, larger berries. Those first berries are the king berries. And so those are the larger sets that are going to produce those nice big berries that everybody loves, but they're in short supply when they come. And after that, we're still seeing nice size green berries coming along in our Jewel, which is our early season variety, and then, or our mid-season variety, I should say, and then AC Valley Sunset, which is our kind of a later season variety.
And then how long do you expect that window to last, your picking window?
We always say it's typically around 21 days, and last year it was a lot longer than that just because we were so dry and things were not ripening as quickly as they normally would. So we're typically wrapped up by the 4th of July when we have a normal year.
Tell me about demand for your strawberries, because I feel like there's just this craze right now for berries. Have you seen that?
It has always been a very good demand. I think we're all just so anxious to get outside right now because we're coming out of winter and then we get into spring, but it's not really quite spring or summer yet. And it's that first real taste of summer that you get that you can pick right out of the field. The kids are out of school. It's just a great opportunity to get outside and do something with your family. So we always really do see a good customer demand.
Danielle Clark of Mayberry Farms in Mayville, Wisconsin. They'll soon be kicking off their 8th season of strawberries. She reminds us to check your local strawberry growers' social media, their website, or give them an old-fashioned phone call before you show up. Make sure that they are open for business and that they have product for you. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from 4 geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Well, I'll tell you, Wisconsin dairy producers not very happy with their paychecks lately. The Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service announced that for the month of April, they were paid about $18.60 a hundredweight for their milk. That works out to be about $1.60 per gallon at the farm gate. That is 50 cents less than they were paid for their March milk and $2 a hundredweight less than what they were paid for their April milk a year ago. The other hard part is looking at what other dairy producers are being paid across the United States. The U.S. all milk price for April, $20.50 a hundredweight. That's $1.90 higher than what our Wisconsin dairy producers are being paid. I saw that Virginia, Florida, and Georgia, probably the highest paid dairy producers, with their milk getting over $25 a hundredweight. The only good news I can offer is things are turning around. Well, let's see if the markets are turning around on a Monday morning. Boy, last week was a tough one. Saw a lot of losses in the marketplace, not only commodity-wise, but Dow Jones Industrial Average, too. Now, this morning, as I look at the screens, Dow Jones Industrial Average are down another 17 cents. December new crop corn this morning, currently down 2.5 at 464. November soybeans right now down a dime at 1175. The July new crop wheat, that's up 3, currently at 681 a bushel. Not much change in our dairy product prices on Friday. Barrel cheese remained unchanged at 194. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 181. Double A butter rebounding again, up another 6 cents to 309 a pound. The fluid milk contracts for June, the June Class 3 milk up 9, that goes into cheese at 1947 a hundredweight. July milk this morning's down 6 at 2023. The August milk up 46 and closed at 2050 a hundredweight. Beef producers were getting a little nervous when we started detecting high-path avian influenza in our dairy population. Now, the good news is we found out that none of that high-path avian influenza makes its way through pasteurization, so dairy products continue to be healthy and safe. And the beef also, because of cooking and processing, does not carry any threat. But that message didn't get through to everyone. In Colombia, they decided that they were going to temporarily halt bringing in U.S. beef. Well, the U.S. Meat Export Federation has been on top of that one since the announcement was made. Homero Riccio is a Latin America representative for the U.S. Meat Export Federation, and he gives us a little bit of an update on how they see things today.
With the issue of HPAI in Colombia, there are 9 states banned from exporting beef to Colombia. And while this started back around April the 15th or 16th, there was a lot of uncertainty for the first week, 10 days, with the ban, given that there was no information, official information, that was passed on to our government. During that interim, our office and Maria Ruiz down in Colombia were working closely with our government to see when we could get something official so that both exporters and importers would know how to respond to the issue at hand. Since then, there's been some clarity to the situation. It's unfortunate, given that we have a free trade agreement with Colombia, that Colombia would take this action against U.S. beef. And so currently, those 9 states are ineligible to ship to the United States. However, we do have plants in other states where export certificates are now being granted, and import certificates in Colombia are also being granted. So some trade has started back up, but clearly the supply is going to be more limited. But yet we still believe there are some really good opportunities, given the situation.
Homero Riccio, he's a Latin American that's on staff with the U.S. Meat Export Federation in Colombia. He says the good news is that things are turning around and their customers are ready to come back to U.S. beef in the next few weeks. Hopefully good news on the way there. More good news on the way in just a moment on a Monday. Charity Seebecker is going to join us and take us into the pits. It's tractor pulling season just around the corner. Stick with us on the Midwest Farm Report.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Mino and the Mayor.
Dan Van Lannen, Hobart Lawrence Police.
Man, I went to the Ostoff. It's a Saturday night, and I'm checking everything out, and I look, and there's Jimmy. And Jimmy's got this ice cream cone. Not a lot of cone, but a lot of ice cream, right, Jimmy? That thing was monstrous. Jimmy, okay, where's the guy
get
that?
Do you have a picture?
I don't.
That's phenomenal.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9, on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI Overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google, it says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a new program in La Crosse trying to keep items out of dumpsters and put them to better use. Also a round of the good, the bad, and please let's not do this. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
The week after an event, if it's an established event. So we typically send that promoter a questionnaire, and we ask them, in a sense, you know, what did you like? Was there anything you didn't like? Is there anything we can improve upon? And if there's anything that they would like us to do differently for the following year, we try and change that. We also ask if there's anything we can help them to make a better show the following year. So basically, I'd say we start planning and preparing the week after an event, and then we work the promoter the entire year to prepare for the event the following year. So it's kind of a 11-month preparation for us.
So when you're doing this planning then, what are things that the audience or venues or even fairgrounds that you go to, what are some things that they want to see more of or even maybe see differently?
We like to operate in a professional atmosphere and look for really nice, neat, and clean locations. Safety is a top priority when we look at a venue. NTPA has a specific set of guidelines that every venue must meet and follow before we can sign them for an event. The track width and length are crucial, as well as all the safety barriers. So after all the safety guidelines are met, we look to make sure the seating for the spectators is adequate and the sound system will be adequate for a good show as well. We want to make sure the fans have a great experience, and we will do whatever it takes to help the promoter plan proper seating and sound to make that happen. It also takes a really large area for all the haulers, so the pit area is also top priority when looking at a new location. Once all those are met, then we're comfortable to move forward with an event with the promoter.
So roughly, if you had to give an estimate, just how many people attend tractor pulls now? I know it can depend on which poll you're at, but if you had to give an estimate, just how many do come?
For a typical state event, it's roughly 3,000 to 5,000 is kind of common. That's what we shoot for. That leaves a promoter a pretty healthy profit margin, and well-planned out show can hold that many people. Our larger events, such as Toma, which is in the state, is way above that. But a typical state event is 3,000 to 5,000.
So you mentioned there's obviously those safety protocols in place, but have there been any recent changes or updates to safety protocols, whether that's for the actual machines themselves or just the overall venue or anything like that?
Definitely. We follow a very strict set of safety guidelines that gets checked at every event. So at every event, each tractor is checked before they go down the track. However, the most recent safety updates revolve around turbo safety. Vehicles with turbos are required to have a blanket around the turbo as well as a turbo containment device on the exhaust side of the turbo, which is designed to catch the wheel or fragments of the wheel if it happens to shear off and exit the housing. So that's basically to protect the driver as well as a spectator and any track personnel on the track at the time.
So can you give us some perspective now into just what it costs to put on a tractor pull from your guys' point of view?
Well, the cost of show depends upon if it's a state or region event. However, just looking at state figures, the average cost is $2,500 per class plus insurance. And then we have a production fee, which covers our costs for hiring our tech officials, entry personnel. We have the cost of the sled. And on average, a typical show can run anywhere from $20,000 to $40,000, depending upon how many classes a promoter wishes to sign.
So can you maybe compare that then to what the pullers have into their machines and just what they have to even be able to get to this event? I'm sure it adds up.
Sure. Contrary to what a lot of people think, pulling isn't exactly a moneymaker for the competitors. It's more of a love of the sport that keeps us moving. By the time we put fuel in our haulers, pay an entry fee, stop for food and snacks, quite often the winnings from one weekend typically get spent the following weekend just getting to the next event. I mean, this doesn't include any maintenance on our vehicles. I can't speak for everyone. However, if I was to start over, I don't think I could buy what I currently have now for less than $250,000.
And speaking of these pullers, just how are membership numbers looking then for you guys?
I'm proud to say that membership has increased substantially over the last 3 years. We have recently added a couple of classes, which has brought in some very large numbers of new members. Plus, we've also added some additional vehicles in our current classes as well, which is great to see.
How many pollers come to an event? I realize I asked you about the audience, but what about pollers generally?
Typically, a typical class is anywhere from, you know, as low as 5 up to 10 plus in a class. So if we have 5 classes, you know, 50 plus competitors in a given night will be a pretty good number.
Kurt Aftal along with us. He's the president of the Wisconsin Tractor Pullers Association. So as you plan your summer adventures, consider adding a tractor pulling event to your itinerary. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
The U.S. isn't the only country looking to make agriculture more sustainable. Up next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Turns out agricultural sustainability is a global thing. Two big reasons. It's the right thing to do in any individual country. And second, countries trade ag products with each other. And there's increasing demand for sustainability between trading partners. In Canada, work started on a sustainability framework nearly a decade ago. Tyler McCann is with the Canadian Agri-Food Policy Institute.
I think in Canada, what we saw is, in the agriculture context, a lot of investment and a lot of action before we saw the strategy. And we haven't got to the point yet where we're connecting that all together. And we saw a fertilizer target out on its own. We saw significant investments out on its own without something to tie it all together. The government's working on that now. They are developing a sustainable agriculture strategy, but we're not there yet.
McCann says a new report from the Canadian Commissioner for the Environment suggests continuing the pursuit.
We need programs that are long-term. The report criticized the government for effectively taking a long time to get programs up and running and then not having very long lifetimes, life cycles for those programs. This is not something that we change overnight. We need to see longer-term commitments from a policy perspective to get outcomes at the end of the day.
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us on Monday as we'll take a look back over the weekend and launch our new SCOMI Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest. Maybe we'll find a pool boy. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a surefire savings tip for the next time you have to buy a car. The move? Getting pre-approved for an auto loan from your bank or credit union before you head to the dealership. If your credit score is reasonable, your bank is probably going to pre-approve your loan. And bonus, this puts you in the driver's seat when you're talking about a car loan from the dealership. Car dealers love to try to get you to take a more expensive loan or a longer loan. That makes them more money, you know? But when you walk in with a pre-approved loan, they will usually work to offer you an even better rate than the bank. That's what happened to me. And my car, which I am paying off at a bragworthy 2.4% interest rate, is proof that this approach works. For more tips on saving more and spending less, text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.